Now, let's say a man has $10 billion and he comes to me and says, Wayne, I'd like you to manage some of my money. What if I said to him, oh, thank you for giving me $10 million. Now I can buy that house in Beverly Hills that I've always wanted. What do you think that owner's gonna do? He's gonna say, you're fired. And if you can't be faithful with $10 million, no way are you gonna get any more. In fact, what you have will be taken away. Did you catch that?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message entitled, Stewards Are Us. Pastor Wayne will be doing something very unique at the end of the message, something that possibly has never been done before. If you heard the beginning of the message yesterday, you might remember him passing out envelopes to everyone and telling them not to open them until the end of the service. Well, at the end of the message today, you'll find out what's inside those mysterious envelopes. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Stewards Are Us.
1 Chronicles 29, King David is speaking. Then King David said to the entire assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. Because the temple is not for man, it is for whom? The Lord God. Now, he says, with all my ability, I have provided for the house of my God, the gold for the things of gold, and the silver, the bronze, and the iron, and wood for the things of wood, and all kinds of precious stones, and alabaster in abundance. You see what David said? It's not about percentages. Now, how much percentage can I give just to keep God happy? What do I have to reach to? Or how little can I give and still have God happy with me so that he'll answer my prayers? How little can I get by with? And still be okay and seen as someone not greedy. Now, I don't want to be known as someone greedy. I don't want to step over the line, but I don't mind living as close to the line as I can. No, it was with all my ability. You see, if you can provide this and I use it for your purposes, if you can trust me with this, I know that there's a lot more that you can put into use and effect for the kingdom's purposes if you'll just find faithful people who see themselves not as owners but as stewards. It wasn't about how little. He, with all my ability. And now listen to this. Let's continue. Verses 3 through 5. Beside, he said, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I've provided for this holy temple. And he begins to enumerate them. 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the building. And it continues to list not only he as the king was able to take out of the king's treasury, but he said, out of my personal funds, I am going to give this much. And he just lavishes what he's given. After figuring it all out, I had someone go through a calculator, figure out all of the stuff. Did you know, after calculating all of the talents of silver and gold and all of this and stones, approximating it in today's currency, David gave over $12 billion. Billion. Dollars to this project. Isn't that amazing? $12 billion. I mean, it's like Bill Gates worth $60 billion or something, taking $12 billion plus and giving it to us to build a church. So if you know Bill Gates, let him know that it's already happened like this. Just follow suit. It ain't that big of a deal. $12 billion. Because he wanted to be a part of what God was already wanting to accomplish. Now look how contagious it gets. Continue, and it says this. Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds as generals and bigwigs, and then the officials in charge of the king's work in the temple gave how? Willingly. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. See, the people rejoiced not only in the amount that was collected, but they rejoiced because the hearts of the people were so willing. They said, yes, that's what God wants, because he's got lots. But he's looking for hearts that are willing to convert what he gives into God's purposes being accomplished. For they had made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying this project was so wonderful that when it came time to build this temple, it was a giving frenzy. I mean, everybody just said, let's go for it. It wasn't how little can I give and God still bless me? How close to the line of greed can I live without becoming known as greedy? If this is a line of generosity and this is a line of greedy, we just want to live right about here. But nobody can say that we're greedy now. But I want to live close to that. Here's a definition of greed. Greed's definition is keeping everything I get. Keeping everything I get. How much do I let leak out? If God gives you this much, do you leak out just this much? God gives you this much, do you eke out just a little or nothing? See, greed is keeping everything I get. The closer you live to generosity, you become more of a funnel through which God gives into his purposes. The more you move to this other line, the less, so that when God gives, hoping that it would be stewarded, we take and call it our own. That clogs the system. So the Lord's saying, where do you want to live? And so it became such a wonderful thing. Now, I want you to hear this, that they built such a beautiful, magnificent temple because everybody's heart was so willing. Now, here it is. Catch this. I need your rapt attention for 60 seconds. You know why this is so incredible? When they made the switch from being owners to just give a little to the work of God, to just with all their ability and just got so excited because it belonged to God anyway, they accomplished something so incredible. Not only is it like a wonder in the world, but more so it's like this. When God became man, God himself utilized that temple where he was dedicated, where he taught on the steps of the temple. God himself used the temple through which the word would be proclaimed to the multitudes. God was so honored by the hearts of the people, realizing that they were stewards, no longer owners, that he himself, in his glorious eternal plan, used this as his headquarters through which the word of God will be taught and much would have taken place. Listen, here it is. So much so did it honor God, and it was so incredible that even after the years where this has been destroyed by Turks and different wars, there's only a little remnant of that temple remaining. It's called the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. But even though just a little bit remains, still people from all over the world come there daily to pay homage and honor to the true and living God. Is that incredible? There's just a little bit of it left, but still people come from all over the world daily to give honor to the true and living God. I don't know if that does something to you, but man, that just stirs my heart. I think, wow, God honored that so much that even what's left is still causing people to give honor to the true God. It's amazing. And I'm thinking, God, if we as a church could switch our mentality from owners to stewards and what we accomplish here, do you understand the impact that it would be? Do you understand the incredible things that can be accomplished because of that? Now, at the end, David prays a prayer. And he says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. We are not owners, we're stewards. And let's read together the final prayer that we prayed at the beginning, and this is where we end up. This is what we programmed into the GPS system. This is where our hearts want to be. Let's read it. Ready? Go. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. Riches and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hands, and it is at your discretion that people are made great and are given strength. It is at God's discretion. So it's not how much do you have and how little do I have. No, it's how faithful will I be with what God has given to me. Because in His wisdom, for some reason, He gave me what I have, gave you what you have. Let's both be faithful and not compare. Because once you compare, that is the expression of the owner mentality, not the steward mentality. So when people are comparing and jealous, that's because the whole fundamental thinking is in error. And so we need to switch. We say, Wayne, what does a good manager of God's stuff look like then? What does a good steward look like? Let me give you three characteristics, and I'll give you your homework, right? First of all, the role of a faithful steward is that he is someone who manages another person's property. Manages another person's property. Not your own. Manages someone else's possessions. And if you're going to steward or manage someone else's money or properties, you got to be, as one of the main character qualities, trustworthy. Isn't that right? Because you're managing someone else's. Otherwise, greed will come in and we'll think we're owners of it. You see, everything that God's placed in our hands for a season, we are to manage. We are a manager of His things. We're a money manager of God's possessions. And if you're still confused whether you're an owner or not, just think, how much of the things you have will you give away in a few years when you die? How much? Yeah, 100%. Congratulations, you're the most generous people. You're going to give 100% away of everything you own. You're amazing. Everything out of those public storage will go to the greedy hands of your kids. You get nothing. And then your kids are going to put it in their storage, and they're going to hold it. When they die, it passes to their kids. By that time, everything gets thrown away because nothing's good anymore. It's all out of date. It's funny how we insure it, we pack it, we move it here, move it there. We sell the stuff that are junk in garage sales. Somebody else puts it in their garage and their storage, and it just goes from hand to hand because we think we're owners. And then it's finally thrown away. They should have thrown it away in the beginning, for that matter. Would have saved hundreds and thousands of dollars of storage fees. That's what I tell my wife. She gets leftover food she's putting in the refrigerator. I said, honey, just throw it away. She says, oh, no, there's 2 carrots left. We got to keep it. I said, honey, that's just going to sit in that refrigerator for 3 weeks until there's mold on it. Then you're going to throw it away. Save the 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Just throw it away. We can't do that. Sure enough, 3 weeks, they throw it away. We're stewards. You got to steward it. And so we manage someone else's possessions. Well, if indeed you're a good manager, then number two, would you write down, a good money manager takes his instructions from the owner. He takes his cue from the owner. You see, if you're a good money manager, the first thing you're going to ask the person that entrusts his money to you is this: sir, what are your goals for your money? Isn't that right? What do you want? Do you want to invest it? Do you have college tuitions you need to pay? What is your purpose? What do you want to end up with? You want to invest this in churches and businesses? You tell me, because I need to take my cue off of you, how you want it invested. How you want it to increase at a fast rate, slow rate, what do you want to give it to, whatever. Because at the end of the day, I want you to be happy with how I handled your money. Now, let's say a man has $10 billion and he comes to me and says, Wayne, I'd like you to manage some of my money. So I'm going to start you off with $10 million. What if I said to him, oh, sir, thank you. Thank you for giving me $10 million. Oh, now I can buy that house in Beverly Hills that I've always wanted because I just really want to run around with the high mucky mucks.
Oh, I want to be on entertainment tonight like they are. Oh, thank you. Now I can buy the house that I've always wanted. And I wanted some jet skis. Oh, I want to buy like 10 jet skis for my friends now because you've given me money to use for myself. Oh, now I'm just going to buy those 10 jet skis. And guess what? Just in your honor, I'm going to name one of the jet skis after you. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you for giving me this money. We'll see you later. What do you think that owner's going to do? He's going to say, you get back here, you're fired. Because I don't care what your goals are for the money. I didn't give you the money. I'm giving it to you to steward. I'm entrusting it to you for the purposes that I have. And if you can't be faithful with $10 million, no way are you going to get any more. In fact, what you have will be taken away. Do you catch that? I am not giving this to you to use. It's your own. No, I'm entrusting it to you to be used for my purposes. And if you do it well, I have so much more that I want to funnel through you. Yes, by part of this, I will take care of you. You'll get your salary. You'll have a wonderful life. But it's not yours. It's mine. I will take care of you more than anybody else. You can trust me on that. But you are a steward. You are not an owner. And if you will steward it correctly, then I will entrust to you more. And I'll say, well done. Because one day you're going to have to answer the question to God. God's going to ask you, what have you done with that which I've entrusted to you? And if we've invested it for His purposes, then He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've made the switch from being an owner that's greedy or hoarding for self to being a steward investing for another. And God says, now, because you've been faithful with a little, watch what I'm going to do. And that's what brings me joy, says the Lord. Enter into the joy of your master because you're a good and reliable steward. You made the switch. Now watch what I'm about to accomplish because you've got that new way of seeing things. Did you catch that? We are not owners. We are what? Just because it's in our possession, it doesn't mean it's our possession. It still belongs to. So you will take your cue off of what God wants to do with it, not what you want to do with it. So, in conclusion, here is your homework. Take out the envelopes. Take out the envelopes. Open them up. And take out the money. And the card. Now, hear me. That's not your money. That money belongs to New Hope Christian Fellowship. Just to help you to be reminded, we put a sticker on the bill so you don't spend it for McDonald's hamburgers at noon. It's not your money. Turn to the person next to you and say, this ain't your money. Now, you'll also notice that you don't have the same amount as somebody else does. That's because God, in His discretion, has passed out to people different amounts. So don't fight and be jealous and try to steal your neighbor's money. This is going to test your honesty and trustworthiness because it is required of a steward, if you're going to make that switch, that he be found trustworthy or faithful. So it's going to test your heart. Now, what we want you to do is over the next 2 weeks to invest this money in some way that'll advance the kingdom of God by helping someone. And you say, no, it's not from me. I am simply a steward. I'm a courier. I'm a messenger. And I want to use this to help you so that you'll see the love of God. It's got to be connected to the Lord. So I don't want you to just sort of give it away and say, yeah, here. Oh, here, have some breakfast. It's not a benevolent thing. It is this. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and what? Glorify your Father. He is to get the glory. Do you understand? So that's investing it in to advance the kingdom of God. Now, there's many ways that you can use it. You can give it to a poor person and then share the Lord with that person. You can, even if you want to give it as an extra tip to a waitress, so long as you write a note on a Post-it sticker and say, "This is from the Lord," to know, so that you'll know that you're very loved. "This is not my money. I'm simply a steward. It's the money of New Hope Christian Fellowship, a family that loves you and wants God's best for you." It's got to be connected so that people see that it's from the King, the kingdom of God. It's advancing His kingdom. Now, I'm going to give you a few suggestions as how to use it, but let me tell you, first of all, what you cannot do with it. Number one, you cannot use it to buy hamburgers or use it for yourself. Got it? It's not your money. Number two, you cannot fly to Las Vegas and invest it for God. Won't work. Number three, when I say give it to a poor person, you cannot give it to your own person in your own family saying, "You're poor, I'm poor, let's give it to each other." No working. Number four, because you have to think creatively of how to advance the kingdom of God, I don't want you to cop out by just giving it into the offering, saying, "Whew, I'm done with it now, I gave it to God." No, you got to invest it somewhere. Don't put it in the offering. I want you to give it in ways that will advance the kingdom. And number five, you cannot come back to next service and get another envelope. Now, let me tell you what you can do with it. You can add to it with more money and double it, triple it in order to do something. You can pool your money with a few people. If you're in a small group, a care group, pool your money together. A family can pool their money together and then have a lunch for somebody that's needy. Buy diapers for a single mom's children that she can't buy. Or be spontaneous in opportunity where you're in the grocery line and a mom comes up short with money, can't pay for it. You just give that. Say, "Here, this is from New Hope Christian Fellowship. I'm just a steward, and I think you need this. I want you to take it." You give it to that person. You can pool your money and see an elderly person or disabled person that needs their house fixed or cleaned. Hire some high school students or college students. With that money, pay them to clean that person's apartment or house. I mean, there's just creative ways. I want you to think how to invest that in such a way that the Lord will say, "Well done." We are giving away $55,000 this weekend. Now, yeah, it's amazing. Now, some people might say, "Does the church have $55,000 just to give away like that?" We're not just giving it away like that. We are investing it in advancing the kingdom of God. And exactly what Jesus would say, to help those that are needy and are struggling and not use it on yourself. Use it to advance the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we can take that money and do just as the Bible says and help people by the staff giving it away, or everybody raise your right hand, or allow the ministers of New Hope to give that away and distribute it through the church. Same thing. Do you understand? I think we should try it because God trusts us with it. Amen? I think we can do it. Now, just think, if God senses our hearts willing to do that and challenge ourselves to take the responsibility to be faithful and trustworthy, do you understand the incredible eternal impact that's going to take place? Because God will see that, just like He saw the temple and He saw the hearts that offered so willingly and became stewards and not owners. "Oh, God, thank you. It's for me." No. Thank you, Lord, that you trusted me enough to invest it and steward it the way you want it to be stewarded. I will take my cue from you. How do you want me to do it? And then I want you to take that card and write me a note as to how you used it in the next 2 weeks. The same is true. One day when you get to heaven, the Lord's going to ask you, "How did you use what I gave to you?" And so in a small way, we will be doing exactly what God is going to be requiring of us in a big way. I want you to know that once you've been faithful in doing what God has asked you to do and sent that thing in, the same kind of heart should be applied to everything we have, not just that one bill. Because everything belongs to God,
Everything comes from God, and He distributes everything we have. Let's do it. Amen? Let's do it.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Stewards Are Us by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.